Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning, you're right. Bright eyed and bushy tailed, rocking around for the day ahead. I do hope so. Me, yeah, I'm fine, yeah. It is 8 in the a.m. British summertime on Wednesday, the 29th of July, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Today, little Harry isn't in. Instead, I'm joined by producer Alistair. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, God, all good. Yeah, of course. Yeah, fine. Yeah, bright eyed and bushy tailed. It's your first go at being the producer on the Bow Show, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Okay.
Enjoying it so far.
Good luck to you. Be kind to him in the chat. All right, well, there's plenty of faffing around, isn't it? That's far too much fannying about. Let's just get straight on with it. What's the legacy corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors lying to us about by emission, if by nothing else? We've got workers face new tax. Of course they do. Of course they do. It's Andy Burnham and the Labour Party. Pinkos, socialists. Of course there's new taxes. And fury over FIFA plan. This is one of the main things in the news cycle today, this morning. On nearly all the front pages, nearly all of them are going with the same story. Out of anything they could go with in the entire world. Don't tell me they're not in cahoots. Don't tell me that it's not one cabal. Out of everything they could report on in the world, nearly all of them, or 80% of them, go with some story. It's a story about FIFA. We'll get into it, but it's not. I mean, if you really care about world football governance, it's a big story. If you're not, then it's not a big deal. All right, should we get into it? What have we got first? The Telegraph. Bear Grylls said something. Don't care. Isn't he a bit of a charlatan? Isn't he? Bear? Didn't you stay in hotels when you pretended you were sleeping out rough in the wild, in the wilderness? Is that true? I heard that. I actually didn't independently verify it. But I have heard that. People always said that, don't they? If that's not true, apologies, Bear. Apologies, Mr. Grylls. If it is true, get away from me. Cheater. All right. This isn't a particularly famous person or anything. It's Glorious Goodwood. It's a big horse racing meet. No biggie. Right. Workers face new tax to fund social care. Health officials draw up plans for 1.8% levy on earnings to pay for Burnham's reforms. Just more tax. 1.8 earnings on everyone's income. The idea is only really being floated by Burnham's camp. They're only really talking about it. Again, Parliament's not even sitting at the moment. So it's far from becoming law, but it's what they're talking about. And it's something like an NHS free at the point of use for everybody for social care, you know, when you get old. And the other big element of it that Andy Burnham's people are talking about is he wants to do away with private social care or private old age care. That there's, you know, you can just pay for old people's homes, just straight up. It's just a company, it's just a private enterprise. It wants to do away with any of that. I mean, broadly speaking, politically, ideologically speaking, I'm not necessarily for the nationalisation of things. Sometimes, we've been through this a number of times, haven't we, on the Bow Show. Sometimes it's important, I think, sometimes not, usually not, but there's certainly cases aren't there, of course, of private old age people's homes, employing monstrous people who are very, very cruel and unusual to the old people. Would that necessarily change if it was a nationalised body, organisation? Not if they're still employing the same people. Quite often people from sub-Saharan Africa. All right, Burnham just wants to tax everyone more. to pay for like the equivalent of an NHS for old people's homes. Okay. Well, you know the millions of people you've allowed this country to be flooded in by, 10 to 20 million since 1997. You know all those people. You know they get old, right? They, in turn, will get old. Now you've invited in millions of people in order to help care for our ageing population. You know they themselves, in turn, then get old. So where does that end? How does that make sense? Infantino's, that's the head of FIFA, the world football governing body, his £15 billion plan to sell off World Cup. A lot of the headlines are like that, written like that. Where you, if you just read the headline, you think, wait, what? He's selling the World Cup. What, the actual physical trophy? What, the entire franchise of the entire World Cup tournament? No, that's not what it is. It's not what it is. What it is in a nutshell, let's talk about it now, I suppose, get out of the way a bit. I'm not that interested in this story, but it is one of the main stories in the news cycle. FIFA want to make a private company which will then sell the rights to advertising, commercials during World Cups. And that company will be owned by FIFA, just not entirely owned by FIFA. Like a big chunk of it will be sold to private investors. One of the big ones, the news keeps saying over and over again, is Jared Kushner's brother. Or is it Joshua Kushner? I didn't even know it existed until this morning. I didn't know Jared Kushner had a little brother called Joshua until this morning. But he's also super rich or some sort of big time investor or something, or has an asset management firm or a hedge fund or something rather. He's got loads of money to be investing around the place. And apparently Gianni Infantino wants to sell a big chunk of it to private investors, including him. All right, well, a bit of the story is that perhaps Infantino himself will pocket millions of dollars or pounds from this. And most people, all sorts of voices from all over the spectrum have been saying, no, that's not a good idea. From UEFA, the European football governing body, UEFA, Sepp Blatter, even a previous FIFA top dog, who was famously, allegedly quite corrupt. Even he was like, no, don't do this. Andy Burnham's chipped in. No, football's for the fans. It will always be for the fans. You can't sell it. That's basically it. That's basically all the data points around that. Okay, but nearly all the papers are going with it, you know, rather than talk about important things like our invasion, demographic replacement, the insane rate of rapes in this country at the hands of essentially foreign people. Don't talk about that. No. Just talk about FIFA. All right. What have we got? The Guardian. The Guardian. Right. Burnham calls for consensus on urgent fix for social care crisis. Prime Minister invites Lib Dems and Tory leaders to meeting today to explore solution. I found this quite interesting because it speaks of Burnham playing a slightly different game to Starmer politically. At first blush, you might just think, oh, the Prime Minister's just simply trying to build sort of cross benches, cross party consensus or something. Good. What's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Why not? If all the main part, all the big parties can sort of agree on things, that would be better. Unity in government, in power, yeah, all good. In the past, and I'm talking like centuries, or in the early first half of the 20th century, or whatever, it was much more common, depending, much more common for parties to sort of talk amongst each other a bit more. Get a bit more consensus between parties. Not always. Someone might go, actually, in the 1870s, there was far less consensus than there is today, or whatever, you know. But sometimes they would have party governments where one party would be the ruling leading party, but they'd actually pick individuals from the other parties to be members of the cabinet and in government, right? That would sometimes happen. I mean, the only example in recent times I can think of, the only example really, is where Trump picked RFK Jr., didn't he? Robert Kennedy Jr. is part of Trump's government, isn't he? Is he still? I think he still is. Not that he's... I mean, he was a Democrat, wasn't he? RFK. But then the Democrats kicked him out, so he's just sort of an independent, sort of a floating politician. That's the closest thing I can think of. But in the past, again, like more like the 18th, 19th century, there'd be someone on the other bench that was known to be the master of policy to do with India or something. And they're in the other party, but they'd be invited to be in government. All right, so, okay. We just don't do that anymore, do we? In Britain, definitely. Most places in the West, they just don't really do that anymore. So at first you think, okay, fine. What's this? But then, as soon as I was thinking about it for a moment, I was like, why would Burnham feel the need? Why would he do that, though? He's got a majority of over 160. Was it 166? They did have a majority of like over 170 to begin with because of various things. I think their majority now is 166. So, on paper, Andy Burnham should not need at all to have any support from the Tories or the Lib Dems. Just absolutely ignore them, essentially, when it comes to votes in Parliament. Having a majority of 66 is pretty healthy. That's pretty good. If you've got a majority of 66, you shouldn't need to have to reach out to the other benches. 166, it should be a slam dunk. Whatever you want to do in Parliament, it gets done because you just easily win any vote every single time. But there's a wild card in there, isn't there? Can you guess what it is? That the left of the Labour Party don't do as they're told. Just simply don't do as they're told or asked. If there's anything they don't like, doesn't matter if there's a three-line whip or they're threatened with being expelled or anything, they just don't vote for it. They undermine the government and force their own leadership into a U-turn. That's what Starmer's government was characterised by, essentially, wasn't it? U-turn after U-turn after U-turn, because the left of his own party just won't behave, just won't fall in line and do as they're asked. It's their only real job, in a way. It's more to it than that, of course, that's very low resolution. But anyway, their only real job in Parliament is to do what their own leadership asks them to do, and they don't. So that's why, surely, that's why the PM is reaching out to Lib Dems and Tories. Because he may not have the votes in his own party to do what he wants to do. So to undermine that, to combat that, to hit back at the left of the Labour Party, oh, what if I get a few dozen Tories or Lib Dems and then don't need you guys? Is that what's going on here? I think it is. I think it must be. Because otherwise, why would Andy Burnham just invite the Lib Dems and particularly the Tories to the table? Let's talk turkey, guys. What can we do? Let's make some deals here. You shouldn't need to. A majority of 166, that's massive. It's massive. All right. The Commonwealth Games have started. Don't really care. Tory MPs' shots claim dismissed by France. Oh, yeah, that's a story that Chris Philip, that's the Tory... isn't he the Tory shadow Home Secretary, isn't he? I think he is, yeah. Is that right? He was just on a boat in the Channel, the English Channel, and the French fired some shots. A French ship fired some shots. And apparently he went on his social media sort of immediately saying, I'm not sure exactly what he said. This article doesn't quote him directly. But he effectively said, like, I'm under attack. I think I might be under attack. Something's amiss here. Something's... And the French just said, no. That's completely... Calm down. That's completely... For a start, we didn't even know you were on that boat. It's nothing to do with you, Chris Philip. Secondly, this is a completely normal thing that happens all the time. all the time. We fire a shot like in that way for some particular reason, training. Right. It's high noon. We do a shot every afternoon or something. It wasn't that, but you know, it was just nothing, a complete nothing thing. And Chris Phillip got his knickers in a twist about it. Not a big story, but okay. Deaths feared as 6.8 quake hits Japan. Yeah, it's been a big earthquake in Japan, and like at least an image where a big bridge fell down, and some people will be dead. In fact, look on the FT. That's a bridge in Japan. Devastation. Many deaths feared after strong earthquake wreaks havoc in southern Japan. Yeah, I've got no trite comment for that. That's bad, isn't it? Yeah. In England, we are sort of blessed as one of those places in the world where there's no giant fault lines, there's no volcanoes, right? We haven't got very many, hardly any, not really any deadly poisonous insects. There's no giant game running around the countryside that might kill you, other than perhaps the Beast of Bodmin. Being gored by an adult male deer probably won't be fun, but largely England is like really quite safe in most ways. We get tiny earthquakes from time to time, like tiny ones that you barely, like your wardrobe might rattle a bit. Like 1, 2 on the Richter scale or whatever, nothing. We basically don't really get earthquakes of any note. And as I say, there's not a single volcano. Like the closest volcano to here is what? Bloody Vesuvius. Oh no, that's extinct. Etna. So yeah, we get like one hurricane every 20 years or something. But Japan's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it? So yeah, there's been a big one in Japan. All right. Thoughts and prayers with the Nipponese. The Times, the venerable Times. That Fantino dude. Nice haircut, by the way. Actually, reminds me, I need a haircut badly. Shouldn't let it get this long. If you're a bald dude going with the cue ball look, you've got to keep it dead short. This is way too long. I'm on the podcast later. I'll get it cut before then, I think. Pop out, get a quick buzz. All right. He's selling the World Cup. The World Cup is being sold. It's not really. Red card for FIFA's plan to sell World Cup. Clever wordplay there. Do you get the double meaning, red card? Because in football, they give you red cards. Yeah. Shake up of social care to lock out private firms. Concern over taxpayers funding for-profit homes. Okay, Caitlin Moran says, oh, that's right, I don't care what Caitlin Moran says about anything ever. Okay, The Express, it's good paper. You can read your Express now. Don't shine that light in my face, mate. Okay, mourners remember Penelope's good life. Remember we talked about Penelope Keith? From To the Manor Born and The Good Life, she died. It was her funeral. Okay, Goodwood's happening. Big horse racing thing. 2 million missing out on social care they need. It'll only get worse. You've imported millions of new people. What happens to the social care system when they are old? You didn't think about that, did you? Blair didn't think about that when he wanted to rub our noses in diversity, did he? Cameron didn't really think about that, did he? Boris didn't really think about that, did he? Rishi didn't care about that. You can only surmise. Okay. The Metro, oof. Oof. What an embarrassment. National embarrassment of the Metro. Absolute filth. Disgusting. It's a shame. The Metro is a shame. Right, but Burnham's offer to families on benefits. £4,000, if you let your children learn a trade. Now, bear with me here. Bursary to stop money, to stop households losing out on cash. PM vows fewer not in job, school or training. Okay, story is, and it's on a few of the other front pages. Well, yeah, let's just go. Let's just sack off the Metro and go straight to the Mail because there's a bit more. Burnham benefits, same story. Burnham benefits, quote, bribe for parents of apprentices. They will receive state handout of £4,500 per year if their children choose job over living on welfare. Wait. What now? Sorry, how does that make sense? Wait, if they come off welfare and get a job, they get welfare. Is that what you're saying? What are you saying? It's so ridiculous. Andy Burnham's and Labour have like realised there's too many neets. You know, young people not in education or work. And it's so lucrative is probably an overstatement, but it's worth sort of just staying on benefits rather than getting a minimum wage job or a low paid job. You just get more money that way. So in order to entice younger people to go out and get a job or go into education, therefore losing their benefits, in order to entice them to do that, we'll give you benefits. We'll give you money, state money to do it. So it's not just me, right? But that doesn't make sense. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. That sort of 1984 doublethink level insanity. There you go. That's Reds for you. That's Socialists and Fabians for you. Just insane nonsense. Just a string of insane nonsense that will bankrupt the country and ruin our economy. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to add up. They'll just say it and do it. And hope that there's enough normies that don't pay enough attention. Okay, the Financial Times. Burnham to seek private sector deals in growth push. There's a balancing act, isn't there? Particularly if you're a leftist government. To do all the leftist things you want to do. But then also you do have to, with the other hand, give something to business and the private sector and the free market. Otherwise, they'll sort of go crazy. A balancing act. We can do all these socialist things, crazy socialist things, but also we love business. We're a friend of business, though. Also, does anyone believe it? Burnham to seek private sector deals. Is he? They're going to wheel out Angela Rayner. And so she can soothe relations between number 10 and the city. Yeah, right. Even the FT goes with that football. Infantino told football, not FIFA's to sell. I mean, kind of is. I mean, it is. He won't be breaking any laws. Might be what you might call in bad taste or unfair or not right, but he won't be breaking any laws. Okay. James O'Brien has said something. Is James O'Brien struggling with alcoholism? Just asking the question. His face seems to suggest so. That's an old picture, isn't it? He's way fatter than that, isn't he? Isn't that picture like 15 years old? James O'Brien says, flag-hanging bozos will hate this, but genuine patriots at last feel hope. Not interested in what he's actually got to say. Whatever stupid, perverse take he's trying to peddle. Whatever subversive slop. Whatever weirdo, freakish take he's going to try and peddle there. Don't care. Fears for British wildlife haven as raw sewage being illegally dumped into the sea. Yeah, I'm one of those people, you know, if you watch The Bow Show regularly, you know, I rail against the climate hoax and the idea that man-made CO2 drives climate change. No, it doesn't. However, I am against, in all sorts of ways, just pollution. It's funny, isn't it, how the green lobby, they try and wrap it all together in one, don't they? They try and make it all one big thing. That climate change and pollution are just one and the same thing. You can't be concerned about one without the other. No. Like, I'm very much against pollution. We should clear up our rivers. We shouldn't be dumping sewage in rivers and the sea. Yeah, of course. Of course. You know, is it in the Atlantic? There's just like a giant floating piece of trash. It's like the size of a state. You know that? Is it in the Sargasso Sea? Anyway, like, I'm for getting rid of that, cleaning that up. I'm for keeping sort of virgin wildernesses as pristine as possible, all that sort of thing. Wildlife reserves, natural, national parks and things. Yeah, I'm all for that sort of thing, yeah. Yeah, dumping sewage in the sea legally. Well, in Bowes Britain, we would get tougher on that sort of thing. Why not? Why not? Fury over FIFA's plan to sell off World Cup. Okay, we've done that. Holly Willoughby has got an online show now, apparently. I'm not interested in searching for it or looking for it or anything. But where she was axed off the TV. And she's starting an online show. I don't even know if it's on YouTube or whatever. And a lot of the papers in the news cycle, they're slagging it off. They're saying she's lost her touch. It's not very good. Seems a bit mean. I've got no intention of checking it out for myself to give you my take. Just not interested in that. But there you go. The legacy corporate lamestream media are talking about it. They'd have to build someone up just to knock them down, don't they? Something about George Michael, don't care. The late George Michael. Something about his best friend and his estate and the rights to something or other, don't care. Right, football again, football. And we've done it, don't we? We don't care. For sale, is it? Is it? I think we're overstating it a bit. Calm down. But I know it's misdirection, the Sun. I know your entire raison d'etre is misdirection and not talking about the things that are existential threats to this country. I know that, but calm down a bit. Yeah. You're overdoing it a bit, aren't you? Yeah. The Star, what slop have we got in the Star? Glorious Goodwood. There's some horse racing going on. Oh, the World Cup. Okay, yeah. The Independent. There's been wildfires in France, remember? Inside frantic fight to save France from the flames. And look, there's a picture of a sort of a devastated landscape where a wildfire came through. It's climate change. Man-made CO2, even though it's less than 300 parts per million, is changing our world. And if we're not careful, there'll be a runaway greenhouse effect like Venus. And we won't have any ice caps anymore. Sea levels will rise and there won't be a New York anymore. It'll be underwater. Oh, look, there's wildfires and it's man's fault. So we have to charge you 40p for a carrier bag in Tesco. Look, there's been wildfires and it's humanity's fault, so we're going to have to lock you down in your home as a type of house arrest. You're not going to be able to use air conditioning. You can't have red meat. Okay. Okay. Look, horse racing and Holly Willoughby. Thanks, The Mirror. Good stuff. Good reporting. Good news. Well done. Well done. Good journalism. Amazing. They go with some random 1980s murder. Yeah. Not all the murders that happen these days. Not all the rapes. Not the small boat invasion. Not the legal migration that's come over, replacing our demographics, going to make us a hated and marginalised minority in our one and only ancestral homeland, ruining our demographic for all time, ultimately wiping us out. Not going to talk about any of that. You talk about one random murder that happened in 1986. All right, we get it. I understand. Okay. That's who you are, The Mirror. Understood. All right, they're the front pages. They're the increasingly absurd and infuriating front pages. Thanks, Fleet Street. Stellar job. Well done. No wonder fewer and fewer people buy your paper. Or take you seriously or have any trust in you. Because we know, we see what you're doing. You're lying to us by omission every day. Every day, trying to tell us what is and isn't important. You're not reporting on things that are genuinely important, are you? Oh, look, here's Caitlin Moran. Yeah? Here's an opinion piece from James O'Brien complaining about flags or whatever. Think we don't see you? Think we're stupid? All right, let's do our poll. We did a poll today, didn't we? This is about the time in the show we have a look at the poll. I've got to finish around 9, not too long after 9 this morning, because I'm on the podcast, so I can't do an hour and a half, an hour and 40 today. So let's have a look at our poll. Alistair. Alistair, would you bring up the poll? Because you have to click that. The producer people, I don't do that, so could bring that up for me. Oh, is it there? Oh, there it is. Okay, let me do this with my mic boom. Ooh, it's warm in here today. I've got a bit of a sheen going on, a bit of a Martin Sheen going on. All right, we asked you guys. Oh, it's one of those days where we asked, the poll was just nothing to do with the news cycle. Anyone that watches Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show, hashtag the real BBC. Bo's Breakfast Club. Hashtag the real LBC, Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. Anyone that watches it regularly knows that most days, nearly every day, our poll will be something to do with what's in the news cycle. Sometimes we don't though, do we? Sometimes we just ask you about, like, your favourite Indiana Jones film or something. Well, that's one of these days. We asked you guys, who is the best Top Gear presenter? And looking at it here, it's like the old lineup, the proper lineup. We gave you the option of Jeremy Clarkson, James May and Richard Hammond. And Jezza has it by a clear margin. I would be clicking on Jez. 83% easily won it. James May, 12%. Richard Hammond, 5%. Richard the Hamster Hammond coming in at only 5%. I would be clicking Clarkson. Of course he's the best one, obviously, isn't it? I think. I always quite like James May, though. At first, I didn't like James May. I was like, why is this guy on TV? Why is he... I don't get it. It just seems like... He seems like really dull. There's nothing wrong with him. I don't hate his guts. It's not, like, obnoxious, particularly. But, like, why him out of a million other people? And then he grows on you, doesn't he, James May, a bit. Or he did on me over the years. I'm like, oh, I get it. Now I quite like James May. But the winner is Clarkson, isn't it? It's obviously Clarkson. It's the best one. All right. There you go. All right. Let's have a look at some of the other stories we've got then. We often check in with the price of crude on the open market, don't we? Let's have a look here. What have we got? Okay, West Texas is down to $82. It's down from yesterday. $82, and Brent is about $87.50. Remarkable, really. I still think it doesn't translate into what we pay at the petrol pump, though, does it? Nonetheless, if you remember at the start of this war in February, before those first strikes on the Ayatollah Khomeini in Tehran, the price of oil roughly was about $78, $79, $80 odd, roughly, at the start of this war in February. And it's now a bit more than that, not much more than that. Said it before, I'll say it again. If you'd asked me in like early February or January this year, when no one knew that Israel and the US were going to do this thing in Persia, kick off basically a full-scale Persian war, Alexander style, what would the price of crude be like 5 months into that, and that the Strait of Hormuz had been closed a bunch of times, been blockaded from both ends? What would the price of crude be? I would say really high, fantastically high, maybe all-time highs. $130, $140, $150 a barrel, maybe a crazy all-time high, $200 a barrel, God knows. And that would have been a reasonable thing to say. That would have seemed like an absolutely reasonable take. There's no reason not to think that would happen. Well, here we are. Here we are. Under $90 a barrel. Significantly under $90 a barrel. Right now, anyway. As of the morning of Wednesday the 29th. I guess by this point, you know, 5 months in, getting towards 6 months in, a lot of the world has started making plans to get their crude and natural gas and other things like fertilizer from other places, source them from other places in the world. I think a lot of the trading desks that actually trade commodities, trading desks that trade in crude oil and natural gas and stuff, they've factored it all in at this point, kind of, basically. Okay, all right, that's enough of that. What else have we got in the news? We had, oh yeah, Jared Leto. Mr. Leto might be in a spot of bother. Four women accused Jared Leto of criminal sexual conduct when they were teenagers. People have suspected he's been a wrong'un for a long time, haven't they? A bit like Russell Brand. Hasn't yet been convicted in open court of any wrongdoing, and yet rumours have swirled around them for years and years and years and years. I'm not alleging anything myself, but, of course, never met him, he never touched me. Leto nor Brand. But it's not new, is it? What Jared Leto is a kiddie fiddler. So they all seem to be very young. 17, 19, 17, 16, 14. 10 women have spoken to the BBC. And online, just for what that's worth, which isn't much, but just people online haven't actually formally come forward to police or investigators, more like 120 women, dating back to the 90s. And that people around him in his band, because he's not just a film actress, he's also in a band, has been 4 years since the late 90s, just say, yeah, he would invite really young girls, sort of under 18 girls, to like go backstage and go back to his home with him and stuff. Jared Leto. What's his band called? 30 Seconds to Mars. That's his band. I've never heard a single song of them. I couldn't tell you a single song. Okay. Yeah, these women coming out now, a lot of them, they say the stuff happened in like the really early 2000s when they were young. Jared Leto. Age is just a number. Okay, Jared. Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah. I don't know. You could believe it though, couldn't you? There's all sorts of rumours around that he's like, he tries to build up some sort of cult of personality around himself. Don't know if that's true. That's, again, just rumours, what people say. Again, they're parallels with Mr. Brand. Thinks of himself in some sense as a cult-like figure. Would like to think of himself as something more than merely man. I don't know, I'm joking. Yeah, Jared Leto might be a sex criminal. There you go. All right. Polanski says guillotine repost was a mistake but refuses to apologise. Yeah, he has refused to apologise, apparently. That's like the latest, the last 24 hours in the news cycle. You know, Nyaj and Reform rightly got upset. And, David Paulden, this freak, this enemy of the people and the state, can't even bring himself to apologise. I can't stand looking at him. It's truly dysgenic. At a glance, a freak. Right, it's near 20. I do need to finish not long after 9. Oh, here's a story. Here's a story from the BBC. Report on Jewish diaspora finds biggest rise in anti-Semitism in UK. Right? I read this article. Right? It's all about how there's been a giant jump in anti-Semitic hate crimes in the UK. And look how long this article is. And there's not one mention of the word Islam. The word Islam or Muslims, not once does it say anything about that. It doesn't talk about migration from Muslim countries. Nothing. Again, seriously, honestly, not one reference to it. It's just general purpose anti-Semitism in Britain. It's taken a massive leap forward, a massive jump up statistically. And not just in Britain. Look, there's a Bondi Beach thing. And also in Australia and a couple of other places, like in Argentina or whatever. So, again, do they think we're stupid? Judith Moritz and Daniel Wittenberg. You're going to write a whole article, a whole piece, about the rising anti-Semitic hate crime in Britain, and there's no mention of Islam. You might name individual attacks, but you don't mention the name of the person that did it or what their motivation was. Really? Really? Okay. Okay. Again, you're treating us like morons, aren't you? You think we don't understand cause and effect or something. Sorry, Daniel Wittenberg and Judith Moritz. Do you think we don't understand cause and effect? Do you think we don't know anything about the tenets of Islam? Do you think we know nothing of the historical conflict in the Holy Land? Think we don't know about the migration from Islamic countries to this country? Think we don't know any of the details about any of the perpetrators of anti-Semitic crime? You're going to talk to us about the rise in anti-Semitic crime and not mention Israel, you cheeky. It's mad. You're mad. You're mad. Unbelievable. All right, moving on. Something slightly less serious. It was in one of the papers, actually. They talk about Clicky Ponting. If anyone who doesn't know, one of the greatest cricketers of all time, an Aussie batsman, was called Ricky Ponting. Ricky Ponting. Right? Is it? Oh, it was on one of the papers, but I can't find it now. Sorry. Oh, there we go. Sorry. Look. Unmask. Fielder dubbed Clicky Ponting. Clever wordplay, isn't it? Clicky sounds like Ricky. Ricky Ponting. Clicky Ponting at centre of village cricket cheap furore. The Mail, it's front and centre. It's top of their website this morning. They think that's the most important thing. All it is that, you know, if a batsman just gets a little nick on the bat, a little nick, just a tiny little snick off the outside edge of the cricket bat, and then the slip or the wicket catches it, then he's out, right? And quite often it's such a subtle thing that you can only really, if you haven't got TV replays, the ump just hears it. So he hears a little, like a click, a little snick sound, because the ball barely moves trajectory, but you hear it, right? And this guy, this big fat cheater, he clicks his fingers at the exact moment to make it sound like they got an outside edge. Just cheating, basically. It's just pretty straightforward cheating. Can't believe that's not a thing in cricket already. I can't believe that's not already like a well-known thing from years and years ago. But anyway, Clicky Ponting. There you go. That's the most important story, according to the Mail Group. Yep, that's the most important thing going on in Britain right now, that is. Okay. All right. Andy Byrne. Should we just move on to... Oh, no, wait. Did I have one story, one other interesting story? Oh, Nigel's annoyed that Andy Byrne wants some sort of crossbench consensus, but he's only talking to the Lib Dems and the Tories. He's not really invited Nigel to the table. Nigel says that's a uni party thing. He's not wrong, is he? Reasonable thing to think and say. Reasonable conclusion to come to. Was there... Oh, yeah, Naga Manchetti. Anyone who watches breakfast TV in the UK know that she, Naga Manchetti, had the job of, like, on the BBC some days. And she's left the BBC. And was she fired from her job at LBC as well? I think they maybe LBC. Look, there she is in the LBC studio. Oh, no, sorry. Her new job is at BBC Radio 5 Live. A demotion, really, from a big step down, really, from breakfast TV to just Radio 5 Live. But if you've ever watched Ms. Manchetti, you will get the impression that she's a total bitch. It's hard not to get the impression that she's difficult to work with, that she's a horrible, mean-spirited, nasty person. And that's just when she's trying to be nice and charismatic and normal on TV. You're like, that bitchy little comment there, that nasty little aside there. Mm. Well, it turns out, yeah, she is like a bully. She is difficult to work with and a bully, according to inside reports. Don't take me to court for defamation, Naga. I'm just reading what The Sun is saying, that you allegedly bullied some interns and stuff. Someone gave her a toast with Marmite. She didn't want Marmite. She went mad, apparently. Got really annoyed and upset with some little intern because she didn't want Marmite on her toast, and they put Marmite on her toast. You get the idea, right? A horrible individual. Really, really, really nasty, horrible individual. A little Hitler. Drunk on the small amount of power she's got. Classic. Classic. Yeah, it's all smiles. It's all smiles. Well, you're gone now. Thank God. Thank God I never have to turn on the TV in the morning and see that. Apparently she did a car crash interview with... I haven't seen it. I'm not interested in looking it up. She did a car crash interview with Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman, the anchor baby that somehow finds herself LARPing as the leader of the opposition. A year ago or whatever, she did a quote-unquote car crash interview with her. The BBC didn't like it. Anyway, she's gone. She's gone. Good riddance. Disgusting mug. Let's do one this day in history. I like doing that bit. You guys seem to like me doing that bit. down through the centuries on this day. What happened of note? July the 29th. The defeat of the Spanish Armada. On my history-themed show, Bode's Epochs, which is behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership, where I've got hundreds of hours, quite literally, no exaggeration, hundreds of hours of long-form history-themed content, a body of work built up over 5 years. Talk all about the Spanish Armada. Of course I do. Talk all about, I've got long-form content on Walter Riley and Drake, Sir Francis Drake. It won't be long before I get up to Elizabeth the First, and I'll talk about it again. I'm currently on my series all about the English monarchy. I'm up to Edward the Sixth, Henry the Eighth's son, Good Queen Bessie's younger brother. So it'll only be a few weeks after I get through with my series all about Diocletian and Constantine the Great. I'll go back to the monarchy and I'll talk about the Spanish Armada again, no doubt. On this day in 1588, the so-called Invincible Spanish Armada is sighted approaching England, and several skirmishes follow, forcing the invading fleet to make a long and costly retreat around Scotland and Ireland. Yeah, they wanted to. The idea was it the Duke of Modena? Anyway, they wanted to sail up the Thames. That was the idea, the Spanish strategy. In the Spanish Armada, it wasn't just a naval fleet, just a naval force. They actually had tens of thousands of Spanish soldiers, foot soldiers. They were going to sail. Cheeky, isn't it? They were going to sail up the Thames into the middle of London and disembark thousands, low tens of thousands of Spanish troops and take London. That's a bit naughty, that is. A little bit naughty. So, we had to stop them from getting into the mouth of the Thames, really. And we did. Famously, fire ships. They had bigger galleons, but our ships were more nimble and piloted by better sailors, essentially. The fire ship thing. I can't go into it here. There's so much to say, but they never got into the Thames. They had to, can't really just turn round and go back down the channel, go back down the Bay of Biscay and back to Spain. They had to go all the way around Britain and Ireland. Apart from anything else, they didn't have enough water, food and water on board for that. By the time they come round Ireland, they're in a terrible, terrible state. Anyway, just one more example of when England managed to stave off an enemy that seemed vastly superior to it. All right, on this day in 1609, Samuel de Champlain shoots and kills two Iroquois chiefs at Ticonderoga, New York, setting the stage for French-Iroquois conflicts for the next 150 years. Yeah. Remember I said I might have some Iroquois, like 1% Iroquois DNA? If it's not just noise in the DNA. They're the ones are much more Canadian rather than New York. Although, it's not a million miles away, is it? Okay, yeah, right. On this day in 1848, Irish potato famine, the Tipperary revolt, an unsuccessful nationalist revolt against British rule, is put down by police. What can I say about the potato famine without descending into cliche and just offending Irish people without even meaning to? Potato blight. Should you really have had a more diverse agriculture and horticulture? Just relying on... Actually, when you look at the potato famine, it was terrible. It was terrible. And it is trite and unfair to say, why didn't you grow other things other than potatoes? That's really not fair to say that. Anyway, it was a big thing. You know, that caused a giant amount of migration from Ireland, out of Ireland. Massive brain drain, population drain, really, to largely the United States. All right, okay. On this day in 1905, US Secretary of War, William Taft, goes on to be... Had he already been president? I think he'd already been the president, hadn't he? Taft, by that point. Has he already been president? Or he goes on to be president just after that. Anyway, Taft is president. But at this point, as the Secretary of War, makes a secret agreement with Japanese Prime Minister Katsura, agreeing to give Japan free reign in Korea in a return for non-interference with the US in the Philippines. Quid pro quo, you know. Let's do a deal here, guys. Let's do a deal. What's that? You think you've got a natural right to own the Korean Peninsula? Okay. Just let us do whatever we want in the Philippines. You know, the Spanish Empire has basically collapsed. The biggest power in the region, even though it's on the other side of the Pacific, is the United States. Just let us, the United States, do what we want in the Philippines, and we'll turn a blind eye to anything you might do in Korea. Well, 35 years later, odd. That all comes to a head, doesn't it? On this day, 1921, Adolf Hitler becomes leader of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, the NSDAP. Yeah, 1921. It's not long after the war, is it? World War I, of course. Tiny little party at that point. I listened to the audiobook of a Hitler biography a few months ago. A legit one. What was it? Toland? Is it John Toland? It's like a legit one. One you could, like Penguin, you could buy in Waterstones or whatever. It is quite an interesting part of Hitler's life, I think. His very young adulthood before the war, his war service, and then the immediate years after the war and before 1933 when the Nazis actually get into power. That's a very, very interesting period. I mean, the NSDAP was tiny when Hitler joined, even when he became the leader of it. Very, very, like a couple of dozen, was it, members? Tiny, tiny, tiny little thing. He was originally sent there by the army to be some sort of spy, basically. Well, not exactly an agent provocateur, but just we, the army, the establishment, need to know what's going on here. Germany in complete political turmoil after the war, World War I, really. A real struggle between communists and nationalists, the Freikorps and the Reds, etc., etc., etc. The army's got this guy, Corporal Hitler. Why don't you join that party, pretend to be interested in that party and join it, and just let us know what they're doing, what they're talking about, what their ideas are. Hitler joins it and is like, oh, I actually genuinely like them, and they're so tiny, I could just, through force of personality and will, I could take over and lead it. And if I tweaked a few things here and there and made it exactly what I want, bada boom, bada bing, I'm the leader of a party, albeit a tiny one. Anyway, interesting. I do think the years 1918 to sort of 1925, 26 of Hitler's life are the most interesting bit, I think. That's just me. All right, then. It's now nearly nine. All right, let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. We do the Rumble Rants first, don't we? Is global church history going to be in at number one? Yes, he is. Yes, yes, it's a good day. And new, because yesterday he was beat. Wasn't he? Yesterday, wasn't it? I usually say, and still, the reigning defending. But no, and new, he regains his belt as champ of the Rumble Rants. Global Church History, in at number one, says, today in 1030 AD, King St. Olaf of Norway was martyred, making today his feast day. Oh, yes, okay, so St. Olaf, Olaf II of Norway, he got killed in a battle, didn't he? He wasn't executed. Often martyrs are executed, but he was killed in a battle. He's in between, sandwiched in between, if I recall now, Canute and Sven Falkbeard. I think I've got content all about the Viking invasions. Actually, more on history. I go to that camera, Alistair. On my other history theme channel, which there's no paywall there, it's all free. I've got some content all about the Viking period, the late Anglo-Saxon world. On that talk, all about Sven Falkbeard. Really important one. The St. Brice's Day Massacre. All sorts of fascinating things. And in between him and Canute, the Canute, is that Olaf, right? That's right, isn't it? I'm pretty sure. And I suppose it's important, largely. It's like a foundational king for Norwegians, right? One of their all-time greats. And he was canonized by the Catholic Church later in, like, the 12th century. So anyway, if you're Norwegian, he would be one of your most famous kings among them. Okay, interesting. He was killed on this day in 1030. And the other factoid Global Church History has got for us is in 1883, Benito Mussolini was born. Okay. I find Benito Mussolini quite interesting, almost comical when you look at the details of his life. A little bit comical, is that fair? It's a bit unfair, but an interesting life nonetheless. On Epochs earlier this year, I did a bit of content all about, I went through a little phase of doing long form content about famous special forces raids. And one of them was when, towards the end of the war, Mussolini got captured. His government had collapsed and he got captured by Italian partisans, anti-fascist Italian partisans. And Hitler sent German special forces in Italy to rescue him. A daring mountaintop raid. They flew in, glided in, landed almost on the side of a mountain, jumped out, stormed the hotel where Benito Mussolini was being held prisoner and rescued him and freed him. I want to hear like an hour and a half. Is it even 2 hours? I can't remember. Of me talking all about that in extreme detail. Otto Skorzeny, one of Germany's greatest special forces operators. It's all there if you're interested. Okay, the next three, and even a couple others beyond that, are from PigDog5150. You say, morning, Bo. Tim Pool, not that he is a philosophical genius, or is this an appeal to authority, made an interesting suggestion. Apply people's own standards to them. And then you've put one of at least two. Okay, so the next one you say, e.g., if people are anti-free speech, they don't get free speech. If they're pro-cancel culture, then they get cancelled. If they're anti-firearms, they don't get armed response defence. I mean, on the face of it, not crazy, silly idea, a little bit, maybe petulant, but I don't know, I'd have to think about that. I've got some questions, concerns immediately rising in my mind. But on some level, yeah, on some level, that's good, cool, why not? Yeah, if you hate free speech, then you don't get to talk about whatever you want to talk about. That'd be interesting. And then you say, last one, that's you saying that. Obviously, hard to apply to emergency situations. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah. If you've like once did a tweet saying, I think all guns should be banned, and then you, through no fault of yourself, find yourself in the middle of a mass casualty shooting event, and the police are like, oh no, we're not going to protect you. That doesn't seem right, does it? It doesn't seem fair, but anyway. Right. Obviously hard to apply to emergency situations, but in general, I think it's a valid tactic for good people to employ against enemies. The leftists are enemies. Make them submit, no pity. Well, I agree with the sentiment there. In Bo's Britain, I would be pitiless. I would be pitiless against the leftists and globalists and subversives and traitors that have tried to ruin our country and our demographic. Tried to annihilate us as a people, as a civilization. They're trying to destroy it. Yeah, I'd have no pity. Be merciless, Ming the Merciless. Intelligentsia, see ya at the end, like see ya. Intelligentsia says, morning, Bo, mate. Oh, morning. Long time viewer, just had loads of trouble trying to get Rumble to verify my account. Keep up the great work. Best breakfast show out there. Oh, thank you very much. Cheers for the donation there. Thank you, sir. Very flattering. Appreciate it. Really do. My band of brothers and sisters. Okay, and the last Oh, there's another three rumble rents from Pig Dog. Oh, there's loads of rumble rents. They're just flooding in here. Okay, the next three, I'll read them in a row if you don't mind. Pig Dog, 5150. You say, Trump bought in Tulsi and others. Good point. Yes, he did. That's a good point. Yeah, I forgot that. I'd forgotten that. Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard. That's quite right. Sadly, others include Scott Bessent. Yeah, again. Yes. Worked for Soros Foundation, fundraisers for Gore, Al Gore, I guess. Donated to Obama, Clinton. Trump is not good with hiring and firing. Yeah, I remember some of the people in his first administration. Do you remember that? What was his first White House press secretary? Do you remember that guy? The Mooch. Is that what they called him? Some weird New York wise guy, dude. A terrible pick. Okay. The next one, you say, when hiring ex-enemies and having an open big tent, got to gatekeep hard. Keep those enemy infiltrators out. Lowe does this fairly well. He needs to learn from Trump's failures. Keep the team true. Yeah. Yeah. If you are going to let people from the other side into your camp, you have to pick very, very carefully, wouldn't you? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, quite right. You also say, I hope Lowe has a plan for prosecuting all the MPs, Coast Guard, Navy police, social workers, etc., who helped the dinghy invaders. Well, I don't know. I'm not actually in the party. I'm only a member. You know, I know a lot of the guys in them, even follow each other on Twitter. But I'm not an employee of the party, nothing like it. So I don't have the ear of Rupert or anything. So don't know. But I have seen him tweet, or his Twitter account tweet, that he would like to see justice for all the people. It wasn't that long ago. I think I retweeted it. See justice for all the people that have facilitated the rape of Britain. Yeah. It's only right. It's only right that these people, the individuals responsible for it, are held to account. It's only right. Okay, Acid Helm says, it's been 2 years today since Southport. Has it been that long? Doesn't feel like that long. 2 years. Today. RIP girls, my prayers tonight will include you. You then say something about Eamon Holmes. That's in too bad taste. I'm not gonna. Yeah, okay. The Southport thing was 2 years ago. Fallen Firebird says, hello, Bo. All right. It astounds me how actual humans think Holly Willoughby had a touch to lose in the first place. She's just a nice face and a decent pair attached to a vestigial brain, not a polymath. Harsh but fair, I think, there from Fallen Firebird. Yeah, she's reasonably charismatic and stuff on TV, isn't she? But won't there be thousands of individual people that have got that same sort of ability? Okay, another three from Pig Dog, who says, of the subversive degenerate traitors that should lose their free speech and be jailed, James O'Brien is one of them. Not my words, James. That's simply one of my super chats I've read. Okay. Polanski, you put it in inverted commas. Polanski, definitely no free speech and definitely jail. Yeah, people like James O'Brien and Dovid Paulden. What to do with subversives like that? Extreme traitors and subversives. What's best to do with them, exactly? An open question. And then the last one from Pig Dog is just a bunch of laughing and crying laughing faces. Not sure exactly what that's in response to, but I'll take it. Thank you. And the very last rumble rant today is from JC Warlock, says Loch Ness Castle Monster. For anyone who doesn't know, doesn't watch the Bow Show every morning, JC Warlock loves the Loch Ness Monster stuff and the castle, the Loch. All right, now do the YouTube ones. Alistair, you have to bring up that for me. Oh, there you go, you've done it. Brilliant, thank you. All right, the YouTube ones, there's a dozen or so of those, maybe 20, as many as 20 of those. So I'll whip through them if you don't mind. Here we go. Stu K8P says, oh, You've done an acronym for On This Day in History. So you've put On This Day in History, 1958, serial killer Eamon Holmes was born. We've got a long-running joke about Eamon Holmes. I once accidentally mistook Eamon Holmes for Hugh Edwards. I meant to say Hugh Edwards, but I said Eamon Holmes, accusing him of sex crime incorrectly, and then apologised many times, and now it's an in-joke on this show that Eamon Holmes is responsible for loads and loads of crimes that he obviously didn't do. Is it his actual birthday, or are you just saying that? Is it Eamon Holmes' actual birthday today? Get well soon, Eamon. He had a stroke, didn't he, back in, I think, April. In all honesty and sincerity, get well soon, Eamon. Actually, Alistair, would you mind Googling, real quick, Eamon Holmes' birthday? I wonder if Stu K8P is just simply making that up for the joke, or whether it actually is. All right, next one. Emily Forrestor says, NHS also employs cruel, incompatible people. Yes, yes. So that's the thing. That's the thing about making sure that all care home, all people's homes are like, it's a nationalised thing. Would that actually mean that the people get? Oh, we've got Eamon Holmes's wiki page here. Does it say? But no, he's born on the 3rd of December. Stu's having a bubble bath with me there. He's just made that up for a laugh. Okay, all right, okay. Okay, get that issue. Okay. Yeah, Emily Forrestor. So, yeah, even if you nationalise this stuff, does that mean that no old people will be abused by the first generation immigrants that come here and care for them? No, it doesn't, does it? Doesn't guarantee that at all. In fact, they'd probably get more institutional cover and cover-ups, if anything, wouldn't they? The way the NHS covers up loads of its crimes as much as it can. Yeah, crimes, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, having a maternity ward where hundreds of women and babies die. That's criminal negligence, surely, isn't it? All right. BWoof93 says, just watch your open bar appearance. Loved it. Oh, cheers. Yeah, I was on Drinker's Open Bar the other day talking about the Odyssey. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Jensen455 says, Big Bo, what's your favourite Duran Duran tune? Duran Duran, didn't they do one of the James Bond themes, Duran Duran, didn't they? Alistair, Google Duran Duran Bond theme. I think that's my favourite Duran Duran song, isn't it? Yeah, View to a Kill. Yeah, that's, yeah, probably that then. View to a Kill. There you go. Okay. James Lee Pevenhall says, worst pollution, tyre dust in the sea, no cure. Oh, that sounds bad. Tyre dust in the sea. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't buy that man-made CO2 drives climate change, but I don't want pollution. I don't just want what is definitely man-made filth blighting the once pristine environment. Yeah. Okay. John Smith, UO3QR, says, they've just said, I am a failure. Don't beat yourself up, mate. Come on. Stiff up a lip. That's all he said. I'm a failure. Well, you're part of the glorious band, The Chosen Few, and you just gave Lotus Eaters $4.99. Can't be that much for failure. You've got good taste. You can build on that. Okay, Ezek89 says, where did this hysteria about CO2 come from? Don't they teach in schools that it's plant food? Where did it come from? That's an interesting question. Yeah, where did that come from? Wasn't Leonard Nimoy and loads of scientists, even in the 70s, talking about a new ice age? We need to worry about an ice age. Yeah, where did it come from? The UN. Listen to Randall Carlson, the geologist, on this. The hockey stick. Yeah, very specific types of very specifically funded, ideologically funded research from the UN in the 1990s. That's where it came from. Well, yeah, it's all documented. It's all documented. It's all there. Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job. That's their name. At Carmichael underscore Cookie Dough underscore Foot Job. Says. They say, it is I, Thaddeus Bungo McTiphop, and I bring you greetings. So there you go. Thaddeus Bungo McTiphop has changed their name to Carmichael Cookie Dough Foot Job. They say, I am scared about Restore's numbers. Do you think they still have a solid chance? Yeah, a lot could happen in the next 2.5 years. They've broken through that sort of, that barrier of 1-3%. That's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing to do. In all sorts of ways, the hardest thing to do is break through a certain barrier. If you start a small business, you start a YouTube channel, the hardest bit is going from zero to picking up the thread of something and getting a ball rolling. That's the hardest bit, by far. Restore have already broken through that. They poll at, what, about 7%, don't they? And in two and a half years, that's a lifetime. Yeah, I mean, they're as big, if not bigger, than the Greens, than any of the other smaller parties, any of them, nipping at the heels of the Lib Dems in all sorts of ways. A lot could happen in the next 2.5 years. Reform could get scandaled into oblivion. Nigel gets scandaled into oblivion and Reform in all sorts of ways collapses and implodes. Where are all those people going to go? Back to the Tory party. Hold firm. Hold firm. Have some faith. Okay, what's the next thing? Belgians are evil, trust me. Again, that's their name. At Belgians are evil, trust me. Says, of course Leto stroke brand went and touched for Bo. And then you've just put Bo and a flame emoji. I have met Russell Brand very briefly a couple of times. Once in the street in Camden and once in HMV Oxford Street. Like literally in passing. He never touched me inappropriately though. And I've never met Mr. Leto in my life. Okay, for the record, that's the real answer. Okay. Orion. I find it difficult to read words, longer words that are all one concatenated thing. What is it? Orion Tobin? Ryan DF Tobin? Anyway, you know who you are. You say, morning, mate. All capitals, morning. Hope you're well on this fine morning. Thank you. You too. What if you don't fix this mess after 29 election? Also, what if we don't fix this mess after the 29 election? It's just an a sectarian nightmare. That's what. A baked in. It may already be too late. It may already be baked in. A sectarian nightmare along racial, religious, and tribal lines, like something in Yugoslavia in the 1990s. That's what. So I've been saying for years here now, isn't it? Isn't it almost a mantra here on the Bo Show? And State of Politics? State of Politics. A sectarian nightmare. People say, oh, what's the problem, little Englander? Why are you such a bigot? Why do you hate brown people so much? Not just brown people. Plenty of people with white skin from other countries I would want and need to see remigrated. Like Albania, Hungary, Romania, whatever. Poland, even. It's not just about the melanin in their skin. It's about tribal, racial and religious enmities. A sectarian nightmare. Don't say we didn't warn you. Like a Cassandra, doomed to see the future and have no one believe you. All right, the last couple here. Belgians are evil, trust me, again, says, tell Firas live I love him, no homo. Stroke, Belgium sucks. Okay, I'll tell him. All right. And the very last one here is from the Field Marshal Dawn Browning. Whit. I'm not just purely stealing Chris Dangerfield's thing there. Her actual name is Field Marshal Dawn Browning - Whit. That's in her name. That's what she's chosen to call it. And she does the same thing and just gives 20 Aussie bucks and a big emoji thing. So Thanks, Dawn. Cheers, love. Appreciate it. Really do. Appreciate all the support. Okay, that is the show. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. I can't say that enough and sincerely enough. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. It just isn't. It's for you. It's in aid of you, and I love it. Thank you. Thank you. It's now 19 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Wednesday the 29th of July, in the year of our Lord, 2026. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. You've got a finite amount of time on this earth, especially when you're young. You think you've got endless time, endless days. You haven't. You haven't. Try and make them count if you can. I don't want to be too preachy about it. If your time is your own this morning, for you, for your sake, try and do something valuable with it if you can. Don't waste it. Don't fritter it away on nonsense. Okay. Until tomorrow morning then, take care.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.